All right, well, we're having at least one more week on prayer, right, today. Okay, I'm debating about next week. I have another thing on prayer for next week that I'm thinking about. I think that might be the last one, and then we're going to go into the book of James. Who's excited about the book of James, by the way? Yeah, it's a great book, you know, great book. Looking forward to that. But like I said, much to be said about prayer. Now, as I was kind of going through and looking at it, one of the things that hit me was this importance of prayer and spiritual warfare, and that maybe is something that we should stop and talk about for a week. And so that's why we're doing it. And I think it's really fitting that it falls on Mother's Day, because when I think of the true prayer warriors out there, I think of mothers and grandmothers so often are the ones that are just there on their knees before the Lord praying for you. And I think hopefully us men will do that also. But that's such a true picture in my life about, you know, who's been praying for me. And so let's remember to do that. Let's be encouraged to do that. But I'm hoping also that when we go through this and we think about it, that we see like a really different picture of reality than what we might see, because oftentimes we just kind of look around and we see what's right in front of us. We see the physical, but we forget about the spiritual aspects of things that are constantly happening. And really, we're constantly in a spiritual battle. Right? It's a constant spiritual battle going on around us, and we just don't recognize it so often. So we're going to spend some time thinking about that today. Before we go into it, though, let's pray about the sermon now, okay? So if you'll just join me as we pray about the sermon. Heavenly Father, thank you again for today and this opportunity to open your word and to share from your word. I pray that I would share accurately what your scripture says, that it would come out clear, and that the points that you make would be obvious, and that we would apply them through your Holy Spirit in our lives. And I ask you to be at work in each heart of each person that's here, and give us ideas about how we can do things differently if we need to. Give us encouragement if we need to keep doing something the way we're doing it. We just pray for your help and your glory in our lives. Thank you so much. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the first passage that I want to share is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away, I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some of you who suspect of us of walking according to the flesh. Now, this is kind of introductory material to what I really chose this passage for, but this is important context to understand what Paul's writing. So this is Paul writing, and he says, I entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So he's saying that he's writing in the gentleness of Christ. He's making this appeal to them in a gentle way, and he values gentleness. And when he thinks about Jesus and his relationship with Jesus, he has grown in gentleness. He has learned gentleness from Christ. Amen? And so I think that's something that we all should desire in our lives, is to have the meekness and gentleness of Christ as a quality of who we are. Right? Now, that doesn't always come natural, and it might not have been how you grew up, all right? Might not have been how you were raised. It might not have been what your work environment's like or whatever. It doesn't matter. God is calling you to a meek and gentle spirit. Amen. Right? And so that's what Paul had. Now, Paul had that meek and gentle spirit, but he took on some things and he had some opposition. And you're actually seeing something about the opposition here. And it might not be obvious to you like why he's saying the things that he's saying. He has this kind of parenthetical thought. He says, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I'm away. This is what Paul is being accused of. One of the things he's being accused of by his adversaries is that they say, oh, this Paul, he seems really bold when he writes, but when we see him, he's really nothing at all. We don't have to be so concerned with him. He's a big shot when he writes, but when we see him, he's just a little small man. That's kind of like what they're saying about him. And what he values the humbleness and gentleness of Christ. Right? And he says, this is what people say about me. You know, he's quoting them more or less, what they're saying about him. And he says, I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing. It's like he's saying, I hope to not have to come to you in boldness, but I am confident that I can and I am confident that I will, but let's pray that I don't have to, right? Amen? That's what he's saying, you know? So Paul was willing to do that. He had the boldness to do that. And if you're a man of God or a woman of God, that doesn't mean that people are not going to talk bad about you or misdescribe, you know, your qualities and who you are. Okay, so this is what he's saying. This is what he's up against. Now, the other thing he says is some suspect us of walking according to the flesh. So some other adversaries, maybe it's the same ones, accuse them of being fleshly in their work, you know, concerned with their own flesh and their own selves. Maybe they're calling them selfish. Now, lots of people of God have been accused of this, you know, at times. You know, even you look at, I think even Moses was accused of this. People accused Moses of this. So he's aware of this, and this is why he's writing. But he gets into this thing here that he talks about now, which is how they're not walking in the flesh and their work isn't a matter of the flesh. So he writes this. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we're alive in the flesh, we live in the flesh. Yeah, we eat, we drink, we have physical needs, we do those things, right? We all do. We all have bodies. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. When you look at Paul's work and what he did and what he said, the war he was waging, it was not against the flesh. So it was not against people. That would be one way to say it. Okay? It was not a physical battle. It was not possession of physical things. It was not trying to get all the wealth and the food and build the kingdom and do those things that were physical. The work was spiritual. And so the weapons were not physical. The weapons were spiritual. Now, who could tell me an example of a physical weapon of the flesh? A sword would be one. There we go. Back in this time, too, as you look at a sword or a dagger. You know, as today, we would think of knives and guns and those kind of things. There's a lot of talk about those, you know, in our world. But those are physical weapons. Now, they have purpose in life. A lot of times misused at times, other times used perfectly well. They have a purpose. You know, they're a tool for things. But those are physical weapons, weapons of the flesh. I think another one I could think of sometimes would be if we're not in the spirit, what we do with our tongue, what we do with our words, you know, things like that. We can actually be very fleshly in how we use our words as weapons. That would be like another thing as you think about. But when you think about these weapons, they are ultimately not going to win a spiritual war. Amen? You will not win a spiritual war with a knife or a gun. You will not win a spiritual war with put-downs. You will not win a spiritual war even with, if you debate someone and you come out as looking smarter, that's not going to win a spiritual war. Okay, so we need a different kind of weapon to win a spiritual war. We need different weapons. We need spiritual weapons. And that's what he talks about. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but the weapons that he says they have, he says, they have divine power to destroy strongholds. A weapon of the flesh cannot destroy a spiritual stronghold, but the weapons of God can. Amen? Do you believe that? I hope you believe that. And you're here today, I hope you're here today because you believe that. Because like when we open the Word of God and we pray and we have faith and we have fellowship, that we truly believe that's the thing that can tear down spiritual strongholds. And that's the thing that can win spiritual battles. And that when we do these things, and especially what we're talking about, what we've been talking about is pray. When we pray, that it absolutely makes a difference. It absolutely makes a difference. And so Paul says, you know, you have these values, you have these ideas about what I should look like and what I should be like, but I'm not waging war according to the flesh. I'm waging war according to the Spirit. I have different weapons than you think that I should have. And these weapons are the only ones that can destroy strongholds. He says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So I think that here, there is an idea of good arguments. There is an idea of good, I don't want to say debate for the sake of winning an argument or something like that, but ideas have to compete and they have to come together. And there's all kinds of different ideas in the world, but the ideas of Scripture, the ideas of the fact that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, the idea of the fact that there's a God who loves us, who loves us so much He didn't just leave us dead in our sin, but He sent His Son to come down. And Jesus Christ came to earth, became a human being, suffered and died on the cross for our sins. After living a perfect life, He was the perfect sacrifice and did that for us so we can be saved. And He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And He appeared to over 500 witnesses at one time, and He appeared to many other witnesses, and then He ascended into heaven, and then He said, guess what? I'm coming back. Amen. You know, these things, like, those are the greatest things that we know, the greatest understandings that we have in our whole lives, you think about it, right? They're bigger than anything else that's out there. All kinds of new ideas, all kinds of new stories, all kinds of new things that people should be concerned with, but it's the same old story that we need is we need Jesus. We need Jesus, and it's the spiritual weapons, you know, that He gives us that are of value. And if we're going to make an argument for something, we want to make an argument for that, right? And what the knowledge that we have in the Word of God and the knowledge that we have through that relationship with God, and that part of that is prayer, that is actually capable of destroying these other arguments in our lives and in other people's lives. That is our fight. That is our fight as believers. And he says, our job is to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we need to be working first and foremost, you think about it, in our own thought life. Every single one of us need this, you know. Maybe what it is maybe it's like there's a worry there. There's a distrust for God, but we need to take that thought captive. We need to obey God and surrender that worry and that concern to Him. Maybe there's a lustful thought, and we need to take that thought captive, and we need to be obedient to Christ in that. Maybe there's an angry thought, you know. Maybe there is a lack of forgiveness or something. We need to take that captive, okay? Maybe there's, like I think some of us can do, is our imagination is running wild, causing us to come up with scenarios that aren't even happening. That haven't happened yet, we need to take that captive because maybe we're not trusting Christ. Amen? So it's to take those thoughts captive. And he says, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And the way I would describe that is punishing, he's talking about your own disobedience, not someone else's disobedience. Like, I'm on the lookout for your disobedience and I'm ready to punish it. No, not like that. It's for yourself. It's like you're looking for that. You're disciplining yourself. When you see yourself being disobedient to God, you're honest about it, you're sincere, and you're disciplining that disobedience in yourself. And you're growing and you're becoming more and more mature. But to do this, to win this kind of battle, this spiritual battle that exists both in you and in the world around us, we need different kind of weapons, right? We need different kind of weapons. We need the Word of God, and we need prayer, right? And we need fellowship, and we need faith. And these are our weapons. They sound kind of simple, and some people might think they sound too simple, but that's what it is. It's the basics of that, and it's the basics of trusting God and not yourself. So the other passage for this is in Ephesians 6, and I keep coming back to this, but I'm really honing in on the end of this where it talks about prayer, but we need the context of the whole thing, which is putting on the armor of God and making a stand against Satan. That's what this Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, is about. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. See, the devil's out there scheming. He's working all these things against you and against everybody and trying to prevent people from walking with the Lord and trying to pull people away from the Lord and trying to wreak havoc. He hates God and he wants everyone else to hate God and he wants everyone to be where he's going to be. And he is doing that. And so what the Bible teaches us is that we have a true spiritual enemy. In a true spiritual person, the devil, that is out there doing this. And he is trying to do what he can. And he is scheming. He's actually coming up with plans about, he's saying this. He's saying, you know, hey, how can I get in between these two people? You know, how can I wreak havoc in this church? You know, how can I cause this person to have more and more doubts? And this is what the devil's doing. These are his schemes. Like, how can I go about doing that? What kind of ideas can I create? Oh, what kind of false ways to approach God can I make so people can be fooled by those? Or could say, like, there can't be just one way to God. There can't be, right? That's what the devil would say, right? The devil's had all kinds of different schemes running, and he's running some really powerful ones right now, but this is why we need to put on that armor of God, because we have an active opposition, and we need to put on that armor and wear that armor. And so we are doing that, and we're being strong, not in our own strength, but in the Lord's strength. And we need to put on all the armor of God, and we need to keep it on, and we need to wear it. But when we do that, there are several things we're going to be doing, but one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be standing against Satan. Standing against Satan. And we're not going to give ground to Satan. That's the picture here. It's not like we're going out to attack Satan, but we're going to hold the ground that God has given. Amen? We're going to hold the ground that God has given and stand against the schemes of the devil. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It may look like we wrestle against flesh and blood sometimes, but my Bible and your Bible says that we don't. It says the true fight is not against people. It's not against flesh and blood. The true fight is against the spiritual forces of darkness. It's against Satan and his fallen angels. That's where the real fight is, and there is a real active fight, and there's an active enemy that's there. Amen? So we need to remember that. Do you know that sometimes, now I'm going to say something that is not, probably none of you can relate to, all right? That there can be even a fight between a husband and a wife. A real difficult time, right? And it might seem like, oh man, we're fighting against each other. We're really working against each other. You know, in some ways maybe you are, but why are you? Because you are losing the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle is being lost right there. Probably because you're trying to hold on to some position and she's trying to hold on to some position. And okay, but it may feel like a fight against each other, but the real spiritual battle that's happening is in the spiritual realm behind the scenes. And it's like, Satan is like, yes, let me drive a wedge between this husband and this wife. And I would say that we should all have this attitude that I'm not going to let Satan do that. I'd rather be wrong. I would rather be wrong. Okay, I don't have to hold on to what I think is right, you know. And I would rather listen to the other person. Let me hear where they're coming from. Okay, let me do that. Okay, let me be the one that takes the first step to reconcile, to make things right, because I'm not going to let Satan drive a wedge here, because this is what he's doing. Because there's a spiritual battle that's going on. You know, if people out there do ridiculous things today that are totally opposed to what God teaches and who God is, and do you think maybe that Satan might like you to look at that person and hate that person and act out against that person? I believe so. But you got to say, like, I'm not going to let Satan do that, because I'm not wrestling against that person. That poor person has been being taken captive by Satan's scheme. Amen. He has been taken captive by Satan's lie. And so rather than hating that person, I need to want to see that person be saved. And I want to love the person. I'm not going to hate that person. I'm not going to get angry with that person. Now, I could be very against the ideas, wrestle hard against the ideas, work against the ideas. And sometimes, this is the truth, if you are against people's ideas and they love their ideas so much, they're going to think that you hate them. But that's okay. That's just how it has to be, because you're not embracing those ideas, but you love that person still. Right? And you still want, because you know and you believe with all your heart, and you can't believe anything else, that that person needs Jesus. Amen. And that person needs to repent of their sins and come to Christ. And you'll never surrender that, and I hope that you never will, because that's of first importance. But that doesn't mean that you have to be mean or rude to the person, right? Because your fight is not against that person. And so it actually really can help you. See, what Satan, I think this is what I see Satan doing really effective right now, one of his schemes. He'd like to make you angry and rude. And he'd like you to talk to people in a really rude way. And he'd like you not to shine Christ's light. He'd like you to tear people down. He'd like you to be someone that just loves to go into battle, because our world is very divided right now. But the fact is, it's divided over certain things. And if you think about it, if we as Christians are more on the conservative end of things, and you have Christians, you have people that are, you have a lot of people that are conservative that aren't Christian. And they don't understand things the same way you do. And really, anger really sells there. And divisiveness really sells there. It makes a lot of money in this world. We have to really watch that we don't buy into that. And we have to really stay at this point where we realize we're not fighting against people. We are fighting against Satan and his demons. And it's a spiritual fight. So we have to remember that, okay? It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. We have to take all the armor on. I think it's said this multiple times. We need all these parts of the armor that he describes. And we need to do it. And we need to stand in that. He says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, I've heard different people describe, you know, different ideas about who the soldier is that Paul has in mind, you know, whether it's somebody guarding the temple or whether it's a Roman soldier. Okay, some would say that Paul is in prison right now and he's sitting there looking at a Roman soldier who's holding him captive, right? He's in chains. And he's looking at this soldier and he's looking at the armor that this soldier is wearing. And he's making a comparison between this armor and the spiritual armor that we have, you know, as he looks at it. So he makes this comparison. He says, you need the belt of truth. You need to fasten up your garments so you're not tripping over them. You need to have them. You need to have your belt tight. Okay? Now, how many of you are wearing a belt today? Thank you. I'm glad that you did. Good job. We don't want any pants on the ground here, right? You know? So, now, and, you know, as you age, the whole belt thing gets kind of entertaining, you know, just as far as... Look at this belt I have, man. It's got, like, infinite number of holes, like, everywhere. I mean, I could gain weight, I could lose weight. It's just going to keep working, you know? I like it. So, you got to have that, and that comes from the truth of God. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. And we need to, it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. So he's comparing it to these different armor things. You know, you got to have your garments tight so you're not tripping over them. You have to have this breastplate that will cover your heart. And that's a breastplate of righteousness that we know that only comes through faith in Christ. And then he says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel. The readiness to go share the gospel is compared with putting on your shoes and being able to go out. And like, if I think about... going out to battle, I would want to have appropriate shoes on. It would really help you to be well in it. I think even going back to like sports, could you imagine playing a game of football barefoot? How'd you like to do that? That wouldn't be very fun, would it? Have you ever played football and been stepped on with cleats before? In your shoes? Could you imagine how that would... Now, some of you are like, no, I've never done this, but you can imagine it, right? Some really heavy 300-pounder with cleats just... puts his cleat right into your foot and turns it and goes, and it's like, that hurts. Just while running. There are some things about football. Like, I haven't played football in a long time. It was a long time ago that I played football, but there were some certain things that were very painful about football. And one of them was getting your feet stepped on by other people. Another one was whenever you hit somebody and your finger got in between the two helmets when you hit somebody. Anybody ever had that happen before? Woo, that was a painful one right there, okay? But you got to have your feet ready, okay? And your feet being ready is compared to being ready to share the gospel. You don't want to be found in that moment where you need to share the gospel, but you're not ready for it. Because you need the gospel to make the spiritual stand against Satan and what he's doing. And it's the gospel of peace that God brings. He says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So the devil and his schemes, not only is he scheming, but he's firing these weapons. You might think of them as fiery darts or ballistic missiles that he's sending at you, right? And you have this one shield that you can block it off with, and that shield is called faith. Spiritual armor right here. Faith to defend yourself against the devil's attacks and what he's doing. And it can put out those flaming darts. And so that just continued faith in Christ and growing in your faith in Christ and being built up in that is what will extinguish the flaming darts. And he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So those two things, the helmet of salvation, you think about putting a helmet on in the fight. This is to protect you from a headshot, a death blow, as you think about it. And that's really what salvation does for us. And we can then go out into battle with confidence, knowing if they kill this body, I'm saved, right? I'm saved. I know where I'm going, all right? They can't take my soul. And then he says, go out with that confidence of salvation and that protection, and then also the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So picture a sword in your hand, and we know in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is talked about like a sword there, compared to a sword. We go out with that sword in our hand. It's the sword of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God and the Bible we have is from the Spirit, and the Spirit works through the Word to teach us and to change us and to equip us. So that's the armor that we wear as you look at it. And now that's the background. But now remember, we've been focusing on prayer. So now he talks about prayer, and what he says about prayer can't be forgotten. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I'm just going to continue to read, and I'll go back on that a little bit. He says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought. Now, going back to verse 18 there. So you picture yourself, right? The picture, you got to have the picture to kind of understand what's being said here. You put on that armor of God, right? So picture yourself in that armor, making that stand. And then he tells you what you're supposed to be doing while you're wearing that armor and while you're using that armor. You're supposed to be praying. So you put on that armor and you pray. You have the faith, you have the word of God, you have the salvation, you have the shoes of the gospel, you know, you have your belt of truth, you have that, and you're going to make the stand against Satan, but you just don't go out alone. You go out with God with you, but you go out in prayer. And really, as you think about it now, coming back to that idea that the world that we live in and where we are, we don't really realize the spiritual battle that's going on around us all the time. So we're to be wearing this armor, we're to go out in this armor, but every single thing that we do as believers, we should do prayerfully. Everything we do should be in prayer, an attitude of prayer, and a continued prayer as we do that. And so, like, as I looked at it and thought about it, the prayer here is not a piece of armor. It's not another piece of armor. But I think the prayer is what we're supposed to be doing while we're wearing that armor. We're supposed to be standing and praying. You know, just like standing is not a piece of armor. I mean, there's only so many, you know, actions, so verbs that we're supposed to do here. You know, we are supposed to put on, take up. We're supposed to do these things, but we're supposed to stand, and then we're supposed to pray. Amen. Pray. So when you think about it, that praying that we do is such a spiritual weapon there in the fight, right? And I think that's why I give that example of mothers and grandmothers, but I think parents in general, as you think about it, when your kids are younger, you do everything for them. right? You take them everywhere. You know, you say you can do this or not do this. You know, you read them a story. You pick which stories. You pick which shows. You do all these things. And then they grow older. And there comes a point in your life where you go from being able to make your kids do things and control where they go to all of a sudden they're making all the decisions on their own. And you reach a point where you realize the only thing you can really do, because maybe they don't even want you to talk to them about it, the only thing that you can do is pray for them. But that's not a little thing. That's a big thing. And that's why this is a fitting for Mother's Day as you think about it. So remembering just the awesomeness of prayer. And when Paul wrote and he described, you know, the spiritual battle, prayer was such a huge part of it to stand and pray as you look at it. And so let's look at what he said. He said, first of all, he said, praying at all times. So there's a constant need for prayer. But he says, not just at all times in the Spirit. So we need to be praying led by the Spirit. So we should desire to be led by the Spirit in prayer. So we want to be in fellowship with the Spirit. We want the Spirit to have more and more control over our lives. We don't want to be praying in a selfish way, approaching God in a selfish way, but we want to be praying led by His Holy Spirit. And he says, with all prayer and supplication. I think a good question you should ask is, you know, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? Supplication is a type of prayer. So you think prayer is kind of like the umbrella. Supplication is when you pray for somebody else and you ask God for help for somebody else. And I think we so commonly do that. That's probably one of the things that we do most easily is pray for other people. But he's like, there's a lot more of that we need to do. You know, we need to be praying. Like, for instance, like when I was saying, if you see this person that's held captive to these ideas, these schemes of Satan, to remember to pray for that person, right? Pray for that person. And it's prayer that's going to be the weapon that'll help the most. Okay, so we need to be doing that with all prayer and supplication. To that end, he says, keep alert. So no spiritual sleepiness, okay? Keeping alert and prayerful, okay, with all perseverance. Did you yawn a big one there when I said, okay, it's a bad time for that, but that's okay, you know. All right, no spiritual sleepiness, all right? Be ready. I mean that, really. Let's be real about it. Do any of you ever, when you go to pray, like, fall asleep? Physically? Yeah. We have physical issues. I mean, Jesus' disciples did, right? He said, you can't even watch and pray. You're over here falling asleep. Okay, well, one of the things I have that problem too, one of the things that helps me is if I take a different posture, like maybe I stand up. Sometimes even helps me if I don't close my eyes. If I'm alone with God, I'm in a room by myself, I keep my eyes open, I pray, I talk to Him. I don't have to close my eyes. There, stand up, lay down on your face maybe. Okay, those are some things that help me. Pray out loud, that's another one that really helps me a lot. Okay, as you think about it. So what can help you? All right, but we need to keep alert. And I think keeping alert is also keeping on watch. Like, what needs to be prayed for? Like, what is about? Like, for instance, let's say that, let me give you a real example from my week that I thought about. I won't mention any names or anything like this, but I'm going somewhere. I got a plan. I got to go help this one person with this thing, and I'm going there. And I get a call from this person that says, I can't figure this out. I need your help with this. And I'm like, okay, ask these other people. They're there. They can help you. No, they're not here. And I'm like, I know that they're there, but okay, I'll go and I'll help. And my prayer was, I get to go see this person and help this person. Even though I'm going over here, I'm trying to get over to this other place and do this other thing. In my flesh, I could become like a little frustrated, right? Because it's my agenda, my plan, my timing is being thrown off. But this person's asked me, and I get to go and help this person. So I pray and say, hey, God, let me see it that way. Let me value them for that, you know? And so I pray for that in that situation. So to me, that was like an alertness of prayer. Alertness is that I'm alert to see my flesh and my need and my ability to become frustrated, but instead give that to the Lord and pray and ask Him to change my attitude about something. Amen? Well, I'm glad at least somebody, you know, that just hits home with, you know, just one person here, you know, I guess. Okay. So keep alert with all perseverance. And we talked a lot about persistence and perseverance last week, you know, not giving up. We need to not give up when we pray. And that's something that we need to have. He says, making supplication for all the saints. So you want to be praying for everybody, for all your fellow believers, to be praying for them and their needs. And he says, also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul, he says, you know, be praying for this, but then he stops and says, here's how you can be praying for me. All right, every week, just about every week, in this bulletin, I put some discussion questions. And I know there are a few people that use those in a small group. And I think that they've been useful to the people in the small group that use them. One of the questions in those discussion questions is something along the lines of, how can we pray for you? Where do you need prayer? Okay? So if you think about it, Paul's answering this question for himself. You know, he's saying, be sure to pray for all the saints. And he says, here's specifically how you can pray for me. Now, when Paul was answering that question, he didn't say, well, I'm fine. Everything's good. I don't need your prayer. I got it. That wasn't what Paul said, was it? So I actually believe that each and every one of you, and myself included, all of us, that we have big prayer needs, right? We have things that we need people to be praying for. Sometimes we just kind of hold those things to ourselves. We're not willing to share them, all right? But Paul shared this, and this is what he prayed for, though, okay? He prayed for the words to be given him by God, that when the opportunity came for him to open his mouth, that he would have the words and he would open his mouth. And he would know what to say, when to say it. That's a good prayer request right there, right? And then the other thing that he asked for and that he recognized, I mean, you might think, man, Paul doesn't seem to need this. He seems to have it a lot. He prayed for boldness. He prayed that he would have boldness. Boldness to do what? Just to be bold for the sake of boldness? No, boldness to share the gospel. Amen. He prayed for boldness to share the gospel so that he would speak, you know, when he ought to speak, and he ought to do what he ought to do. He ought to speak in the way he ought to speak. So my question for you is, if Paul answered the question that way, how should you be answering the question? What should you be praying for? You know, are you realizing that you need prayer and you need people to be praying for you? And do you have people around you that will pray for you? And do you value that? Because that's our spiritual weapon we're talking about here today, is the value of prayer in the spiritual battle. Okay? So join the battle. Join the battle, okay? And remember this, a spiritual fight requires spiritual weapons. A spiritual fight requires spiritual weapons. Now, you say, about a situation, you might say, I need to do something. I need to do something here. I need to help with this. Because our world is full of people that want to do something, right? Want to do something, want to make it better. I mean, a lot of times, people rush in to do something to make it better can actually make it worse. Okay, especially when people bring ideas that are not the right ideas, that are not the truth. You're going to fix this problem by something that's not the truth. You're actually going to make it worse. But you want to do something in a situation? How about pray? Amen. How about pray? How about spending time? You got a hard situation in your life? How about instead of just thinking about it a long time, how about taking time and praying? Amen. You see some people that aren't walking with the Lord, that are living a totally different life than what God would want them to, how about pray? How about spend time praying with them? You got somebody that you've tried to share Christ with but keeps shutting the door on you? How about you pray? Amen. Pray. You have worry in your life and anxiety and stress? How about you pray? Amen. Hey, I got an idea. How about husbands and wives pray together? How about the men of this church gather together and pray together? How about the women do that? How about this is continuing and growing more and more as a house of prayer? I don't mean house of prayer like a particular group that calls themselves house. I mean house of prayer like in Jesus' idea when he says, you know, that my house will be known as a house of prayer. Now, Also, how about this? Praying is one of the best things you can do in any situation. So sometimes people think about prayer as like, well, I sure wish I could do something. The only thing I could do is pray. Well, praying is one of the best things you can do. So pray. Pray. Be sure to do that. Okay? Now, the other thing, pray. This is what, let's just remember what he said. He gave those points, and you probably noticed it was like all. Right? There was a repetition of the word all in these verses. But remember, like, when and how you should pray. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. So there's never a time that's not the right time to be praying. But be praying in the Spirit. Pray with all prayer and supplication. Okay? With all prayer and supplication. Don't hold back. Okay? I think when I think of all prayer, I think there's a lot of different ways that we should be praying. There's a lot of things we can learn about how to pray that we haven't gotten into. And we're going to get into that. That's why I said there's like one more week, you know, one more week about like, okay, well, what are some examples of prayer in the Bible? How is it that the apostles prayed? You know, we looked a little bit about Jesus, how he said pray, but, you know, how should I be praying? But learning like the different ways that we should pray, but to be praying and to be praying for all these people. And he says, again, remember what he said, with alert and with all perseverance. So not giving up, continuing in your prayer life. Even if it seems like God's not answering, keep praying, keep praying. And then who should you be praying for? Be praying for all the saints, making supplication for all the saints, all your brothers and sisters in Christ. And remember also Paul's example. Pray for the right words to say. You know, when you're given the opportunity, when you have the opportunity to speak, because oftentimes you don't. It's not like you have the opportunity to share all the time, but when you do have the opportunity to share, pray that God would give you the words to share. And then also pray for boldness to share the gospel. You can pray that for somebody like Paul. You can pray that for some other people, you know, but also I think the idea is pray this for yourself. Want this for yourself. All right? So that is a little bit on the spiritual warfare. You know, remember not to think of prayer as of second importance. And then remember to be alert and looking around and seeing, you know, how is maybe Satan scheming against us here and working against us? And what does Satan want to do? And how can I counter that with prayer and the armor of God? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, how your word instructs us and helps us. Lord, we want to stand strong in your armor, and we want to be continuing to learn more and more about prayer and how to pray and to really be doing it in our lives. I pray that everyone is being challenged by this, and everyone is making an effort to examine their prayer life, and everyone is seeking your face on how to pray more faithfully and more true. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.